I'm Mark Adams, and this is Mark's Mess 50 for 50. Each week I will look at one year in my life to find the geek influences, ending up looking at the year 2021 on my 50th birthday. This week, 1983. Knight Rider, a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man who does not exist. Michael Knight, a young loner on a crusade to champion the cause of the innocent, the helpless, the powerless, in a world of criminals who operate above the law. In 1983, Knight Rider came to UK TV. Only now I realise that that opening monologue says nothing about a supercar. You would have thought that kit was the main selling point. But that monologue could be about many shows. A lone hero, helpless innocents, criminals who operate above the law. Since before The Lone Ranger, these one-and-done episodes have been the mainstream of TV. While David Hasselhoff had star billing, everyone knew that the car was a star. The Knight Industries 2000, or kit for short, was everybody's dream car. It looked cool, it was fast, it had gadgets, but it also had a voice provided by William Daniels. I do remember seeing the first episode. I was still 11 years old in February and my aunt had come to visit. So while Mum and her sister talked in the good room, I went and watched TV in the back room. I was blown away. I mean, it was a car. It had a personality. It was cheeky and it did stuff. And it was great fun for an 11-year-old. I do remember babbling to my aunt about how great this TV show was, and her probably not understanding a word of what I was saying. Despite the opening monologue, Michael Knight was not a loner, and he had a team to back him up. The idea of the man and machine on a crusade was a popular idea and was copied over the next few years. The short-lived Automan and Blue Thunder came and went in 1984, as did Street Hawk in 1985 with a cop on a super motorbike. And of course, in 1987, we got Airwolf. The mind behind Knight Rider was Glenn A. Larson. He may not have been the most original of creators, but he understood two things: what people liked, and if you threw enough stuff in the wall, something is going to stick. Here is a list of the shows of his I remember well. Alias Smith & Jones, The $6 Million Man, Quincy M.E., Battlestar Galactica, Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, Magnum P.I., Knight Rider, Manimal, Automan. He was even involved in writing and producing the 2003 remake of Battlestar Galactica. Glenn A. Larson was Mr. Saturday Night before Ant and Dec came along. More TV came along from the USA with The A-Team and a new comedy on Channel 4 on Friday nights. Cheers. As iconic as this import was, it was the BBC that brought us Blackadder as a very British comedy. I was studying The Tudors in history in school, and that first scene about Richard III and the Battle of Bosworth Field, I understood that reference. It wasn't until the second series, 3 years later, that the familiar Blackadder was shown to us, but I really enjoyed that first series. In the movies, I saw my first Bond movie in the cinema. Octopussy was not the best. Bond looked old, with Moore being 58 at the time. It was played a lot for laughs, but the action came thick and fast. The microjet at the beginning was shown on a children's show, Blue Peter, as a working jet, so it lent some authenticity to the action. Return of the Jedi completed the original trilogy of Star Wars. The excitement for this was raised by Barry Norman having a feature on this on Film 83, showing how they made the climatic space battle. I do remember thinking that Han would be very upset when he found out that Lando knocked the dish off the Falcon as they raced through the Death Star, and that feeling of relief when the Falcon finally burst out of the burning space station. The big news in 1983 that I remember is that seatbelts became law to use in the front seat of the car. My dad drove us to primary school in his Triumph Acclaim, and I would have worn the seatbelt both in the back seat and the front seat. And now, a few years beyond primary school, we had a law that it was compulsory to wear one in the front seat. It took another 8 years for it to be compulsory for the back seat. Even though evidence showed that they saved around 1,000 lives each year in the UK, I remember people complaining. Writing this in the summer of 2020, I noticed stark parallels with the reasons for not wearing a mask and the reasons 37 years ago for not wearing a seatbelt. They are restrictive. They make me feel uncomfortable. It's my freedom not to wear one. At the age of 12, I felt safer wearing a seatbelt. With the brilliant The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, aged 13¾, coming out the previous year, diaries became big business. The oddest one was a publication by Rupert Murdoch of the recently discovered Hitler diaries. Of course, they were proven to be just as fake as the Adrian Mole diaries. If you would like to contact me, you can by email at mymarksmess@gmail.com, on Twitter at marksmesspodcast without the T, and on Facebook at marksmesspodcast. Thanks to Josh Woodward of joshwoodward.com for the title music.